Terry Moriarty, a social service person, and the other from Larry Bigham, head of the Public Defender's Office, who asked a very pertinent question. He was even more out there than I was, and saying, look, this gives the cops the blank check to stop, interrogate, search, and arrest anyone who looks under 18 who can't prove it. Now, in this country, you're not supposed to have to carry ID. Well, you know, better go down there to your DMV and make sure you got your license with you at all times if you look young, because now this curfew, once it passes, will be a blank check for police to stop people. And you can say, well, most police won't use it that way. Most police are concerned with
not just to stop people, but to pick up people, and they're going to be stuck with these people if they don't jail them.
So the question is going to be, there are civil liberties questions, there are facility questions, there's a real question of common sense here, and here's a caller. Let's see what she or he has to say.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay, we're just checking the number. Thanks anyway.
Sure.
You know, you could use the number while you're checking it if you want.
Yeah, feel free to give us a call. We do have free lines. We're at 427-3772, and we're looking for callers on the issue of youth curfew proposed and soon to hit the Board of Supervisors, a countywide curfew which will affect everyone under 18 years of age. Means you cannot be out between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. unless you got a note from your mom, or if you're coming back, or we gave you the whole list of exemptions. But generally, it means if you tarry, you know, you are likely to run into a cop.
I wish some people would call in, because if we're going to assume that it's true, since all the communities and all the cities are concerned about it, that there isn't a solution to the congregating of young people after dark, what would work? I mean, there's got to be things that don't criminalize children, that give them a place to be. In my opinion, there ought to be places they get to run themselves, that are their own studios or centers or clubhouses in every neighborhood. And since most every neighborhood have empty buildings, that doesn't seem like such a far-out idea to me. Of course, it might upset the real estate industry.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Robert.
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Robert. This is Richard with San Francisco Liberation Radio.
Yes, Richard, your programs are much appreciated down here. For our listeners' information, Richard has been operating a station in San Francisco running from hill to hill with his transmitter, but now apparently you're a bit more secure up there.
Oh, yeah, now we're at a fixed location.
Now you should know we're on the air.
Well, I didn't want to be on the air.
Well, good. Well, while you're on the air,
I was calling to find out if you guys want to give out a phone number. A public phone number.
Sure.
For people to call in.
Oh yeah, we have a call-in number, and it's 427-3772 or 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
427, all right, that's the number I just called.
And it's 408 is the area code.
Okay.
But I really want to, since I've got you on the phone now, can you give us the latest update on what's going on legally around Free Radio in the Bay Area?
Well, there was a hearing on July 14th, and not too terribly much happened. The case has been continued to September 22nd. That's when the FCC is once again expected to come back in federal court in Oakland and fight the good fight to shut down free speech in America.
And what's your prediction about that?
I really don't know. I mean, the case has already been continued two or maybe three times now. So it's hard to say. There may be another continuance. It seems like the FCC is really shying away from going into court to battle on this issue. They don't seem really terribly eager to press ahead with it at this point.
Now, you're a San Francisco resident. There's a curfew battle happening. I believe there's even going to be a vote on it today or tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors. Are you familiar with this particular struggle?
Curfew for juveniles.
Have you had much, what's the story on the curfew? What are the arguments in favor of it that make any sense to you, if any do, and what are the arguments against it that you think are important, and what's your general sense of that? Our show is on the curfew. You joined us in the middle of a youth curfew, which is being proposed.
Oh my goodness.
Down here.
Well, my thoughts on the curfew are that it's really going to make life hard for youth on the streets, especially homeless youth. And there are a lot of people who fall into that category. The obvious question that needs to be asked when any kind of curfew is in effect such as the one that was in effect during the Rodney King uprising, when the mayor and the police chief imposed a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. curfew over that issue, is what do homeless people do when there's a curfew in effect? And the answer is they have to hide under bushes, hide under trees, hide under automobiles, and stay out of sight, which seems, you know, and of course, people like Mayor Jordan say, well, they should be home with their parents, but a lot of these children left their parents for very good reasons. So I think this curfew is a totally bad idea.
Let me ask you this. I have a copy here of the San Francisco Chronicle, an editorial by the Chronicle on July 27th, which is headed past the curfew ordinance. I'd like to read you a paragraph or two and to ask for your reaction.
Okay.
San Francisco's Board of Supervisors will have an opportunity next Monday to rise above petty political considerations and demonstrate a commitment to the city's youth and safer streets by approving Mayor Jordan's proposed curfew for youngsters under the age of 18. If the supervisors reject the curfew, as some have threatened, Jordan has promised to place the issue on the November ballot. We share the mayor's confidence that the public enthusiastically supports such an ordinance and will pass it into law given the chance. In simplest terms, the curfew would make it unlawful for kids age 18 and younger to loiter in streets, parks, or any other public places between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. on weeknights and midnight to 5 a.m. on weekends. Violators would be taken to Hamilton Recreation Center at Geary Boulevard and Steiner Street, or held until they are retrieved by their parents or guardians. A variety of counseling and social services will be available at the center to support both the youngsters and their parents. Such a curfew would hardly be the draconian crackdown described by some opponents, and certainly not a violation of constitutional rights. It would be a reasonable and positive way of helping kids stay out of trouble during the most dangerous period of the night. The curfew would also make liberal allowances for emergencies and underage youths running family errands on the way to or from work, political, religious, or virtually any late-night activity except hanging around looking for mischief. Besides being endorsed by Police Chief Anthony Ribera and the Reverend Amos Brown of the Third Baptist Church, the proposed curfew is supported by many merchants, residents, and parents who could use a little extra help controlling their kids. We urge the supervisors to follow the lead of hundreds of cities nationwide, that's new to me, that have successfully adopted curfews that have cut youth crime and protected kids. And that's the San Francisco Chronicle, July 27th. And what's your thought, Richard? You're a longtime programmer with Free Radio San Francisco and a resident of San Francisco on top of the curfew issue there, which is coming up for a vote at the Board of Supervisors, I think today or tomorrow.
Well, that's the kind of reactionary sentiment that we've come to expect from the San Francisco Chronicle. That sort of editorial doesn't surprise me. The thing is, I mean, they say the law will make liberal allowances for kids running errands, I guess, was the way it was phrased, for their parents or whatever. But, you know, this seems to leave a lot of the spot judgment up to the police. And I think this law is just going to be used by the police in an abusive way to round up people that... Well, I mean, we just saw the San Francisco police mass arrest 279 people on June 26th. The police here are really out of control. That was at the Mumia Abu Jamal demonstration. I think leaving the discretionary, the discretion on this up to the police is a bad idea. You know, here again, that would be totally in keeping with the San Francisco Chronicle.
Well, I think another concern, even for those who, let's say, would like to see children protected from, you know, gangland shootings or not involved in gang activity or that sort of thing, a concern is that the resources that will be put into increased police activity, stops of people for curfews, could be put elsewhere. I mean, that's one of the thoughts I've had.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they had places for kids to go, but all these places have been cut, all the budgets have been cut for funding for youth, for youth programs, for, you know, like places where kids can go to hang out, communities, recreation centers and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So much has been cut from the budget that all the social programs are gone, and you're going to have a situation where if this curfew thing goes through, where law enforcement once again is going to be the solution for this whole panoply of problems that we have in our society. Well, I think it's a bad road to go down.
And the prediction, I think, as I read in the San Francisco Independent, the kind of an occasional newspaper that's up there, is that the curfew will not go through. The Board of Supervisors will dump it, and then possibly Jordan, the mayor, will put it on the ballot in November.
That's probably a good prediction, because there is certainly a progressive element in the Board of Supervisors. You have, of course, Supervisor Tom Ammiano, who just today, actually, there's going to be a public hearing on his progressive tax proposal. And Supervisors Alioto, all of the, you know, there is certainly a large progressive element, possibly even a majority, on the Board of Supervisors. And they certainly are at odds with the mayor on a lot of issues. But they are hearing progressive tax proposals that have been proposed by Supervisor Ammiano. That's going to be, I think, around 3 o'clock this afternoon. And one of the things they're going to do is impose a 0.5%, I believe it is, tax on all transactions on the Pacific Stock Exchange.
All right. Let me just stray from the subject for a moment and ask you what's happening with San Francisco Food Not Bombs, which is one of the largest and most long-term and most notorious of the Food Not Bombs organizations. Food Not Bombs, as our listeners probably know, is a group which feeds anybody who comes to it twice a day, or at least I guess it's feeding once a day in San Francisco, or I guess
it's twice a day, 5 days a week, and once a day on weekends. But I really don't know. I haven't heard of any arrests or any, there have been arrests and beatings in the past, but I haven't heard of anything like that lately.
That's good.
I'm probably not the one. I'm not as closely tuned into what's going on with that as some other folks are. You might want to ask, which is Keith McHenry.
Well, we've kept you on the line, and probably emptied your pocketbook here.
Oh, that's okay. Well, listen, I was I'm doing a program for Radio for Peace International, and Free Radio Santa Cruz is going to be featured on this program. So I wanted to ascertain whether or not you guys wanted to give out your phone number to the worldwide audience.
I believe so. We're giving it out every day, so okay. I don't see any reason.
Well, that actually was why I was calling. Thank you, for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, and Lighthouse Linda here is with me in the studio, wants you to know that we appreciate it.
I'm sorry?
Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, she's one of our local fighting commentators.
Oh, okay, great. Hi.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
All right, take care, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Well, we have celebrities from San Francisco calling. Hey, the word is spreading all over the globe about Free Radio Santa Cruz. You have, in fact, joined Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we are at 89.3 FM. In the studio with me, Lighthouse Linda LeMaster. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris. The show, Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. We're going to be with you until noon today, and we're discussing issues of poverty, issues of civil rights on the streets of Santa Cruz. We've been talking about the youth curfew. Our lines are open. Give us a call, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. So the youth curfew is up for a vote today in San Francisco, and it's also going to be, it sounds like the same, pretty much the same law. It's again a curfew from 11 to 5. In fact, one wonders if some think tank up in who knows where, Sacramento, is churning all these things out as a kind of like sausage. What do you think, Linda?
Well, it's making sausage out of a lot of young people, but I don't think it looks very well churned. I think that the police and the regulatory system are just trying to solve a problem, and the people that ought to be trying to deal with it are ignoring it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hi there, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey now, I got a couple of questions for Linda, if that's cool.
Linda, can you hear her?
No.
Okay, hang on here, let me give you to Linda.
Okay, cool.
Hello?
Hey Linda, how you doing?
Hi, good.
This is Spirit here.
Oh, wonderful.
And, can you guys, first off, can you guys turn it down a little bit? Because I think
turn
it's overmodulating, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the phone line, yeah,
turn the phone line down a little.
I got a question for you. This is my present situation. I'm on AFDC, and I just moved into a place, and I'm about like close to the beginning of 8 months pregnant right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first moved into the place, the people who were giving me AFTC and stuff told me that, you know, they pay for the security deposit and everything, but they need proof that, you know, this is the place where I'm going to be living at. So I go ahead and I sign the lease, and I take them the lease. I also take them a letter from the house manager saying, this is how much rent I pay, and this is how much the security deposit is. And as soon as I take it to them, I don't hear anything more about it until a month later, when the woman needs her security deposit, basically.
When you get back to them?
Well, I got back to them about a week ago.
Yeah.
And asking them what was taking, you know, if it's been going all right, or, you know, if there's something more I need to do. And they basically told me that since I went ahead and signed the lease and didn't sign all the security deposit slips and stuff that I was supposed to sign, which I didn't know I was supposed to sign because they never told me that, they basically told me that they weren't going to pay it. So now I'm going to have to become homeless once again after 1 month being in a place. I'm 8 months pregnant, and I don't know how to go about revoking this. Do you have any suggestions or...
Yeah, the first thing you need to do is ask for a fair hearing. The way the welfare department or the welfare system works in our state, any action they take once they recognize that you deserve or should be getting the FTC, you have a right to ask for this thing called a fair hearing. It's an administrative hearing. It's sort of like, they have these hired lawyers acting like judges.
Right.
And you get to present your story. It's not as intimidating as going to court, and this lawyer pretending to be a judge makes a decision. And so often, once you ask for a fair hearing, the county will dig in and try to solve your problem. But I highly recommend that you have a witness with you, anybody, a friend, even a child that's over 7 or 8, have a witness in your conversations with them, because I've heard of stories like this to many people, especially on the issue you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
The state law that provides that someone eligible for AFDC should be able to get their security deposits is being handled by our county and probably others in a chintzy way.
Yeah.
And they're ignoring your rights. I mean, they even have this little printed flyer that tells you that you're entitled to this and that, and then they turn around and try to not give it to you. You have a court suit if you become homeless because of their hang-ups when you've actually gone back and tried to straighten it out, but you do need to ask for a fair hearing. And if they don't fix it, and I mean, that's not going to make the birth go any better or your baby's first moments any better if you're homeless on the streets.
Yeah.
Been there when times weren't so tight and inflated, but you need to ask for a fair hearing.
And how would I go about doing that?
Well, there's two ways. There's an 800 number, I wish I had it with me to put on the air, but I will get it for you somehow.
Okay, cool.
That you can call the state and ask them. Or there's a woman named Barbara Bock, B-O-C-K, who works here at our county's welfare department. You can call them up and get her desk and tell her you want a fair hearing. I usually do both. Some people feel like it's easier to call the state because it's sort of more impersonal. You don't have to deal with the workers that you might have to bump into later.
Right.
You know, but either way, within a few weeks you'll get a date for this fair hearing, and then meanwhile the county will take a closer look at your case. I mean, it's definitely a matter of interpretation. In my view, from what you've told me, the county is interpreting it wrong, trying to cheat you out of your security deposit.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to fight unless some harm comes to you. Like, you can't get into the court system unless you're hurt by their bad interpretation. But
in
this,
being homeless again or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Or say your landlord raises the amount even more because of the delays or something, or you hurt someone else because you couldn't pay your part.
Right.
Any of these things are harms. You know?
Right.
But you don't need to be homeless right now, and if we need to, we can make it a front page newspaper issue and, you know, get it on the canned radio as well as the free radio, if worse comes to worse.
Yeah,
but
totally.
And if I can be of any help, I will. Sometimes, I don't have any wills right now, but sometimes just going in there with somebody that has a little confidence helps get further at the welfare department.
Totally.
But you might want to try to write down what you heard them say initially and have that in your hand when you go in and make them accept that piece of paper so they can solve it in the meantime instead of waiting for the hearing to come about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for being willing to struggle with this publicly like this. Most people in welfare try to hide it.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're going to offer and make agreements and promises, they got to hold to them, you know?
Yeah, and that's a hard thing for bureaucrats to do, so it's up to us to expose them and make sure they do.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Spirit.
So you are on the cutting edge here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, listening to Lighthouse Linda LeMaster and Bathrobes Pier Robert Norris on Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. Phone number to call, and we have open lines, 427-3772 or 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I repeat, our lines are open. So, go ahead.
I'd like to add a comment about what Spirit and I were just talking about. The program that Spirit was referring to that's supposed to help people who would be eligible or are eligible for AFDC get off the streets, it's being threatened by the governor to be either eliminated or by the legislature to be made into a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Now, in our city, anybody that's paid rent knows that that's not going to keep you off the street to get a break that they're stingy about in the first place once in your lifetime. They used to provide enough income that you could save up a security deposit, and they passed this law to make up for the fact, well, it was sort of a behind-the-scenes deal to keep the state from being sued for putting children in foster homes when their parents became homeless. There were lawyers who felt that's not a good enough reason to take people's kids away from them. Children of color usually never get back to their families once they get in the foster care system. So they made this deal to provide emergency homeless assistance. Now, there are other poor people who need it too, but instead of broadening it, every other year, the legislature shrinks it and shrinks it. It's been shrunken 3 times in the few years it's been around, and now they're talking about eliminating it. So call your elected representatives today, because right now is when they're fighting about whether there's going to be a budget, a state budget. And that state budget seems to be boiling down to how the Democrats and the governor feel about welfare reform. So, if you don't want to be helping Governor Wilson run for president on the backs of poor people, you need to call your electeds. And call a few other areas' electeds, too.
Good idea. Returning to the curfew, I had another flyer handout copy of a newspaper story, again from San Francisco, which is perhaps an interesting point, is an object lesson for us. They're discussing their curfew. San Francisco Mayor Jordan seems to be using this curfew as part of his political campaign, understandably enough, but that's no basis for passing, and I'll go into that after we take our next call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah, hey, I thought you were going to play Home Sweet Homeless. This is the producer and director of Home Sweet Homeless.
Oh, dear.
I'm totally irate. I thought we had a contract. I'm going to come and blow your station down the water if you don't play the final scene in Home Sweet Homeless.
Are you the Unabomber?
I'm related to the... I'm a half-a-bomber.
Oh, I see. You're kind of the demi-bomber.
I'm missing some equipment here.
Yeah, you seem to be a few cards short of a full deck. I actually, for those in our audience who are interested, this sounds like Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, the head of the notorious Stop Police Abuse Now, apparently Stop Doggy Abuse as well.
Talking about Stop Police Abuse Now, remember that caller, Tom?
Oh yeah, we had a caller, for those who don't remember, on, I guess it was a week ago.
Tom, where are you? We want to hear from you about what happened to your son who was chased across the river by a pack of police dogs and his face was pushed into the asphalt, and that was a bad incident. Tom, we want to hear from you.
Yes, we invite you, Tom, or anyone else who's had an incident of police abuse to call in to 427-3772 here at the studio, or perhaps, Nick, you can give out your number.
Yeah, my number is 475-2012.
475-2012, and that's for SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now.
Okay, here's the national roundup on
on a related topic, which is police riots.
Uh-huh.
I was listening closely to the radio over the weekend. There were no less than 3 police riots in 3 major cities of the United States over this hot weekend.
Wow.
You know that phrase, the long hot summer, right?
No, that's what we're in the middle of.
Starting to happen again. Clinton was not able to get his summer jobs, youth programs through the Congress. He got a small amount, but nothing near sufficiency. And so there's lots of angry youth, frustrated youth in the cities, and there were incidents mostly involving minority youth. There was one bad one last night in Los Angeles. It's been 3 days running. The police have lost control as they tried to control crowds of youth. Of course, it was about the shooting of a youngster. And there was a similar occurrence in Indiana and another one down in Florida, Miami, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw little kind of back page stories about that. Interestingly enough, though, it's, I guess in those cities, it's probably front page news.
So this is a growing phenomenon. It's an ugly one, and we've seen it before, and it's terribly sad. Are you going to play the tape?
I have it with me. I'm a little bit slow on the uptake here because I think that I was hoping that perhaps you might be coming in on Friday.
You'd rather play it Friday.
Yeah.
If you've got a lot of ground to cover on other topics.
We generally have more time on Fridays. I think we often have 3 hours, whereas on Mondays we only have 2 hours. So I'm going to ask your indulgence and the indulgence of the audience.
That's all right.
And perhaps you can also, do an update. We're expecting you to do a little writing, maybe bring the play up to 1995 and do a little improvisation, Nick.
Okay, we'll do it Friday. I have one last announcement. It concerns an upcoming meeting. I'm connected with a group called the National People's Campaign, and we're planning a caravan through this area to draw attention to poverty issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to opposing the Republican contract on America, Gingrich Kahn.
Oh, Gingrich Kahn, yes.
No relation to Robert Kahn.
Oh, certainly not, yes.
So we're going to oppose it, and there'll be a caravan coming down from San Francisco into this area, and we want to have a local caravan drawing attention to poverty issues and the need to maintain social services.
Mm-hmm.
So people should show up at the meeting tomorrow night. That's tomorrow night. It's in a public housing project on a street called Jose Avenue. That's Jose Avenue, which is a right turn off Capitola Road.
Mm-hmm.
If people are leaving Santa Cruz and going towards Capitola, they would... Yeah, it would be just after 7.
What's the actual address, Nick? What is the address?
It's a huge apartment complex at the very end of Jose Avenue, right turn off Capitola Road. I'll just give out my number again, and people, if they want directions, the meeting's at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's 475. 2012
is your number, Nick, and it's also the number for anybody who has a problem with police abuse to give a call to. You've been working with this group, Stop Police Abuse Now, for at least half a decade, and I asked Tom, who called us a week ago on the air and gave us a very frightening and enlightening story about what had happened to his son at the hands of the Santa Cruz police, to give a call to you, Nick, today at 475-2012.
Okay, Rob, I'm signing off. Bye, Linda. I really enjoyed learning quite a bit there from Linda and the young lady. That was quite an eye-opener.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, we might have to go front page on that woman's story. 8 months pregnant and having to go through all those hassles, that's hell. Okay,
really
see you Friday.
Really exposes that, the downside of bureaucracy.
Yeah, so again, the number of our station here is 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, and the number of SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, is 475-2012, 475-2012, and Tom, if you're listening, do call in. We'd like to hear from you again, and anyone else who has had problems with the Santa Cruz police. And speaking of the police, I want to remind our listeners that the Poodle Police Review Board, the toy board, is going to be meeting next, a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, at 5 o'clock at City Hall. They'll be meeting there, their once-a-month public meeting. Now we have another phone call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I don't have much time. The monster is approaching.
Oh, dear.
It's a two-headed monster, and this is not a foreign film.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, get back. I can't recognize the other head.
Mm-hmm.
Get back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got him at bay. You know, we have to speak low because I don't know why.
You better speak a little more loudly, or else no one in the air is going to be able to hear you. And I think that go ahead.
Well, okay, is this loud?
That's better. That's better.
Okay.
What do you got against monsters, Mister?
What? What'd she say?
She was asking you what you have against monsters.
Well, this, I mean, okay, it's Godzilla with two heads. It's not a monster. It's a love toy. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, the fact is I called up basically to talk about something important.
You better speak up if you want to talk up.
Oh, okay, I'll use my regular voice.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about something very important, I think, which is a definite reflection on especially in Santa Cruz. Not invasion of rights, I should say, but of jeopardy of free speech and rights, which is the libraries are never open, hardly ever open. And it's kind of interesting because I stood in front of a library the other day on the west side. It's a little library in
the Garfield Park Library.
No. Whoa. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is. On which room?
Yeah.
And there was a teenager standing outside, and I said, "This library is never open, and hardly ever open." And he said, "Well, haven't you heard about the new pledge to save our libraries?" And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He says, "Well, they're saving it so the books don't get used up, overused, and there's less handling of the material."
Well, I think we can thank Carol Boozenhart for that. You know, Carol and Vernon.
And he was serious.
Well, no, I think that that actually is a new campaign that some leading conservative spokespeople in the county are doing successfully. They defeated the library tax Proposition L last election, and they are really trying to tell you, they're actually trying to produce more business for the downtown booksellers because, less libraries, more book sales. I mean, that's
right. Exactly.
But I'm going to run on you, Al, unless you've got more you want to put out here, perhaps a closing line, perhaps, whatever you've got.
Well, I think we should also extend it to save our rent.
You mean save the buildings, everybody vacate them? Maybe we should, we could save the police stations and put the police to work doing something else. That might be a useful approach. But I'm going to leave you, Al. Thanks for the call.
Okay, who's Al? Who's this Al guy?
That's your other persona. You've got to keep track of your multiple personalities there, boy.
It's kind of interesting because I'm told that I sound like this guy, Al. Whoever it is, I'd like to meet him one day.
Perhaps he will.
I think somebody told me he performs at the Art League on Mondays.
Indeed. Who knows? That's tonight.
Maybe he'll come
face to face with yourself.
I heard the guy's pretty good. He's like does this free form kind of improv ad lib. Well, improv is form, but
yeah, I think this is the guy that tends to interrupt serious talk shows with his moment of supposed humor. Yes, I remember.
Well, hey, give the guy a break.
I will, and I'm also going to break off now and talk to you later. Bye bye.
Okay.
So I'd like to put in a word on behalf of multiple personalities. Just don't get caught after dark with the personality of a child.
Yeah, that's actually a very important point about the curfew. Linda, that you are going to be up for interrogation if you look under 18. That becomes a reasonable basis for a stop if this is passed. So again, I encourage you, if you want to fight this law, the potential law, and it seems to be seriously inclined. Art Danners was at this meeting, and Police Chief Belcher, the Santa Cruz Police Chief, was at the meeting, and Judge Black was at the Criminal Justice Council meeting. They were all there.
Black supported this?
No, Black, unfortunately, or fortunately, or whatever you will, he abstained, and the reason he abstained, of course, is because the law will probably be coming before the courts for a constitutional challenge if it's passed. Though with our local ACLU and the disarray it is, at the timid level it is, because we've had no challenge over the downtown ordinances recently, in spite of the fact that Berkeley, for instance, has virtually suspended all of its downtown ordinances because of such a challenge from the American Civil Liberties Union up there. Nonetheless, here in Santa Cruz, it's still illegal to sit down on the sidewalk. You can find yourself in a humiliating exchange with a green-shirted host who will demand you move along or face the law. So the number to call if you want to fight this curfew law is to call your supervisor, 242-2200 if you are in the... 454-2200 is the, thank you, Linda, is the correct number for Supervisor Marty Wormhout, who actually is a supervisor who says she opposes this curfew, and I believe her. The curfew is due to hit the Board of Supes sometime this month, although, who knows, maybe it'll be delayed with the questions that we're trying to raise about the law. I mean, the very simple questions are, you know, where do you put the young people? Where do you put the homeless people? Aren't you spending the money inappropriately when it should be spent on youth facilities? What about the civil liberties of everybody else? Has the law worked elsewhere? Let's get some stats on it. Why is San Francisco and Oakland rejecting this law? These are all questions that I hope we can... Well, I hope that the Board of Supervisors is going to consider them, and I'm hoping we can perhaps delve into some of these questions more deeply in a future show if you're interested. Our lines are open. We're at 427-3772. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM.
I'm not buying it, Robert, that money is the problem here. We are in this community, in these communities, neglecting our youth. We've been doing it for quite a while, and now as the people who are in positions of power and authority want to make sure that they don't get their pensions or raises pinched, they're taking it out on young people, the same way they're taking it out on homeless people and welfare recipients and immigrants. It's very interesting to me that this thing is being pushed through in a big hurry without any public dialogue in the summer, when it's hard for parents to get in touch with each other because we're reduced to get in touch with each other through the public school system. So I think, regardless of whose supervisorial district you live in, it's important to call everybody seated on the County Board of Supervisors and let them know that this thing needs to be a little more real and a little more relevant and a little less policing.
Another number to call if you want to fight the youth curfew is the Above the Line Community Consortium. The number, that is a group which is fighting for the services and rights for homeless people. And their number is 457-9754, extension 265. That's 457-9754, extension 265. And that is the extension for the Youth Subcommittee of the Above the Line Community Consortium. Your other option is to directly call Karen Gillette. Karen Gillette, who is the head of the Day Resource Center, who has been concerning herself with problems about the youth for many a moon. Her phone number is 458-6020. That's the Homeless Day Resource Center. I encourage you to give her a call and ask her what you can do to help fight this curfew law, which is nearly law. It's right upon us. It's the Criminal Justice Council was directed to put together this law. It's been put together, and now it's going back to the Board of Supervisors, and we have to deal with the results of what they're going to be doing. So I was also saying that the Civilian Police Review Board, or the Toy Arf Arf Board, as I call it, is going to be meeting a week from tomorrow, Tuesday. Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month, they meet at 5 o'clock at the City Hall Council Chambers. During that period of time, you'll be able to speak to the board, you'll be able to hear what they're doing and not doing. And maybe they'll tell you whether they're allowed to even receive complaints from the police station. They were, of course, mandated to have every complaint that appeared at the police department forwarded directly to them so they could independently determine if they want to wait for the internal affairs of the police department's investigation to conclude or whether they want themselves to investigate problems of police abuse and the problems of that particular complaint showed. But now, as you may have known if you're calling our show or if you've been following Police Review in the papers or through the meetings, Police Review is reached a point where they don't, that is, the police department does not have to forward its complaints, does not have to forward complaints it receives about its officers to the review board. They simply have to forward a little generic description of what the complaint is about with the officer's name blacked out. That is still the case in spite of repeated assurances from Mayor Byers, repeated assurances from the city manager, repeated assurances from members of the Civilian Police Review Board that that's not going to be the case because the POA, the Police Officers Association, which is the police union, is apparently using everything it can do, every weapon at its disposal, everything it can think of to hobble this already virtually domesticated little board, which is, you know, is not investigating what happened, why a woman miscarried after a police beating on May 11th of 1994. It's not investigating a man's broken ribs there. It's not investigating Tom's case. The fellow who called in a week ago talked about his son being abused by police physically and psychologically for being a tagger late at night with dogs and the whole shebang. No, instead, they're sitting around discussing procedures and have been for the last 8 months. And instead of trying to put some teeth in the situation, even the filed to a gum line teeth that was provided by the city council, they're going to abandon those teeth, it seems. Or at least they've done nothing. They're doing it by gum. If you want to find out and observe with this this process firsthand, you know, wander on over to city council. Hopefully it'll be a cooler day at that point, a week from tomorrow, 5 o'clock. I guess that's August 8th. City Council chambers, and you can let them have a piece of your mind and a piece of your wisdom, and you can also contact the Civilian Police Review Board, which has an office downtown, and they are open 9 through 1, Monday through Thursday, and their phone number is 429-3262, 429-3262, and if you do call them up at 429-3262, ask them if they have a set of rights that they're letting their clients know about, because I've been seeking to get this put down on paper for at least a month, so that if you walk in there, you will be advised that you do have the right to request a hearing, you do have the right to request a public funded and independent investigation of your complaint. You do have the right to make your complaint public, which the Police Review Board will not do at the current time. Instead, your complaint will become part of a police officer's confidential personnel file and be buried in secrecy unless you make a specific request.
And keep a copy.
Yeah, definitely keep a copy, and also give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. Nick Whitehead of SPAN was in fact talking about that on the air earlier, you heard him on the air earlier, a playwright and activist, Nick Whitehead, at 475-2012. Give him a call. Let him know what's happening with your complaint, because you do have a right to make your complaint public, no matter what the Police Officers Association tells you. And if you're reading the papers recently, I mean, Nick spoke about police riots in three different cities this weekend. Yes, indeed. But there's also the reality of increasing lawsuits against police officers. If this was on the front pages of the San Francisco Examiner. I don't know if we have time to go into this today. I brought a whole armload of clippings about this. There's a San Francisco Examiner from July 25th has a three-part series, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The second part of the series, A Questionable Death, Were Proper Police Practices Followed in the Case of Police Officer William Henry Waller Jr.'s Shooting of a man named Sullivan, Brian Sullivan. And there's a very interesting, extensive analysis here by Seth Rosenfeld of the San Francisco Examiner. in which apparently, well, read you a little bit of it, police officer William Henry Waller Jr. said he couldn't have cared less about a rule against endangering innocent bystanders when he fired 5 shots through a garage door at a fleeing suspect across from the schoolyard. I don't care what the rules are at that point. I was going to pump as much lead at him as I could. I was not going to let him get away at that point, Waller told the Examiner of that moment 2 summers ago as suspect Brian Sullivan disappeared inside his family's Excelsior District garage. Waller's shooting at the garage was a critical point in the incident in which he apparently violated standard police procedures, 3 police practices experts told the Examiner. But the police department's weapons discharge review board, perhaps similar to our own internal affairs department here, concluded that Waller's shots followed firearms policy. An examiner investigation found that the board, which consists of 3 deputy police chiefs, did not review all departmental records on the case in ruling that the July 15, 1993 fatal shooting of Sullivan followed the policy, which says officers must 1. Exhaust all other reasonable means of apprehension and control before resorting to the use of firearms, 2. Use extreme care to not endanger bystanders and not unnecessarily or unreasonably endanger themselves when firing, 3. Fire only in necessary defense of self or others when they reasonably believe there is imminent danger of death or serious bodily injury, and 4. Fire only to arrest suspects who have committed a felony using or threatening to use deadly force or who they reasonably believe will cause death or serious injury if their arrest is delayed. In deciding whether an officer to follow the policy, department rules state the board must consider the officer's capabilities at the time, nature and immediacy of the threat to the officer and others, and the nature of the crime. Sullivan's family sued the city, alleging that Waller wrongly killed Sullivan, 22, with a shot in the back as the unarmed man climbed a ladder in his backyard, and that police tried to cover it up. The city denied the allegations, but settled in June for $295,000. Now, you will hear the police department You have heard our Santa Cruz City Police Department resisting an effective civilian police review board using the argument that it's going to cost too much money. Well,